You know, as we look to life and as we look at one another, God realizes that you and I are going to have difficult times dealing with the reality of life, the reality of how you change your mind, the reality of sickness, the reality of hurt, the reality of collapse of a city, of a society, a collapse of life. See, when God created us, He created us as His children. God said, I want you to understand that I love you so much that I'm going to send my Son to die for you so that you can be a part of my family. I'm going to offer you an opportunity to be a part of the personal family of God. And as soon as you say yes to Jesus Christ, inviting Him into your heart, then you are instantly a child of God headed for heaven. There are many out here in the world that have not accepted Christ yet, but they will. And they are children to be, all created in the image of God. But at some point in your life, you're going to come to a crossroads. And at that crossroad, you're going to have to make a choice. And that choice is whether or not you're going to choose God through Jesus Christ, His Son, or the world through the pleasures of it. You're going to have to make a choice. God said, I'll give you the world. When you serve me, the world is yours. But when you've decided you're going to go off on your own and you're going to conquer the world on your own because you want it your way, then you can count yourself as losing. Because God will not allow you to step across that line because He loves you. And that's the line of hurt. That's the line of separation. So your whole life, you're going to go down this journey, this path that's before you. And that path is going to have all sorts of choices. And God says, I want you to make the right choice first so that as you travel down this journey of life, those choices you're going to be offered, the right choice is going to be easier for you to choose as you go. Now, wrong choice gets you in a lot of trouble. And once you get in a lot of trouble, so often we just dig the hole deeper. But the Lord says, I want you to deal with who you are. There's a lot of things in this world that we will make the statement and say, that drives me crazy. And it's not always about our children. You're driving me crazy. There are crazy makers in our life. If you look to the right or left, now there are crazy makers in our life, in our families. They're crazy makers in your mind. Those are the crazy makers that you make up. You know, like situations. Oh, what if? What if the hammer falls off the top shelf and falls on the one I love's head and it kills him right there? Woe is me. And people will worry about that. What ifs? How about thinking about what is? I happen to be a child of God. I don't have to worry about what's to come. God wrote the book. God is the one that said it. He knew every second of what I would go through before I was ever born, and you also. He says, I know your journey. That's how he knows to always be there for you. Well, you know, the Lord showed up. No, the Lord was there before you got there. He knows the heart of man. And he said, you know, the heart of man is evil continually. That's why you need a new heart. That new heart that I will give you will be a heart that will praise me. And yet the crazy makers in our life pull us so often off the beaten path that God has set before us. Because we say, well, you know, no, it just drives me crazy. If I go that way, people are going to make fun of me. People are going to mock me. You know, everybody else over here, they're following this crowd. And this crowd, you know, has decided that everybody else is wrong and nobody is smart enough to think for themselves. I got news for you. God gave me the ability, you the ability, to think for ourselves and to choose for ourselves so that we can bless others in so doing. And he'll say, here it is, right, wrong, choose. You choose rightly, I will bless you. The Lord said, I want to give you everything there is. I want to prosper you, right? I want to make sure that you are well taken care of. I want to make sure that your heart is set and that you don't have to worry. Though you go through the pain, you don't have to worry. There's a reason for it. Most of us going through it can't figure out the reason, but there's a reason for it. And God says, my glory awaits. That's the path of life. That's the crazy makers in our life. Many of the crazy makers are people. Others are situations. Others are things that are crazy makers. I've seen mechanics that will completely almost lose their mind because they cannot figure out something about a car or whatever it is they're working on. And I mean, they're not going to eat or sleep till they figure it out. They're going to work on it. And if every knuckle on their hands it is scraped, that's fine. But it drives me crazy, they say. Here's how we're going to do it. First of all, I'm going to give you the scriptures that'll help you to deal with the crazy makers in your life. I might not have one for you on that one, Randy. The crazy makers in your life. First of all, this is a hard one. Refuse to be offended. We take offense to everything. Have you ever seen like people, well, you offend me by saying that. You offend me by not saying that. It's obvious I'm just offending them by breathing. You know, it's individuals who are offended by everything. Christian, let me tell you, don't take offense to any of it. Because I guarantee you, it's a lesson of life. They're a lesson for you if it's a person. The thing, frankly, doesn't matter. Things mean nothing to me. Do you want to know when you will have all the things you need? When you don't care whether you have a thing or not. Because you got Jesus. You've got life. You've got a peace of mind that surpasses all understanding. Proverbs 19:11, a man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory to overlook an offense. We had trouble with that. Larry, you don't have any hair. I don't take offense to that because you know what? I don't have any hair. And I can't help it. If God decided to let the beauty shine out on a lot of us rather than cover it with hair, right, Brother Joey?
Only a few perfect heads.
That's right. So don't take offense to all of this. And if you don't take offense to it, Satan's not happy. What people say to you mean nothing. It's their problem, not yours. And if you decide what they're saying is true, fine, clean it up. But I'm not getting a wig. Clean it up. Be proud of who God has created you to be. And don't take offense. Express your love. Can you change the heart of another individual? No. Don't you realize how much the battle is going inside of you to keep your heart straight? But what you can do is introduce them to the one that can change their heart. His name is Jesus. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. He's the one that I will see when I step out of this body. The angels are going to carry me straight to him. Isn't that exciting? But right now, I got a job to do. And so do you all. You have breath in your life, in your body. You're breathing air that God has given you. You're living in a world that's created by the mind and hand of God. God speaks, and it is. What God says is going to happen. God said, Larry Pete, you're going to be born. Despite tries to keep me from being born, here I am. Why? God said so. So why would I take offense to people who just don't understand? Who don't understand themselves? You do that. You watch that. Be patient and refuse to be offended. Number two. Oh, this is hard. Don't wait for an apology to forgive. Don't wait for an apology before you forgive someone. People, when you hold that grudge or that bitterness inside of you for someone else, it destroys you. I'll show them. I'll take my hand and I'll ram it through that wall. You really show them, don't you? You really showed that wall. It won. Think of it. So God says for us, don't wait for an apology to forgive, but I'm going to give you a little addendum on that. Colossians 3:13. You must make allowances for each other's faults. Brother Randy, I know how you are, so I forgive you because you just can't help being you. Must make allowances for each other's faults and forgive the person who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you. Oh, I got to remember that, and I have to practice that. Yes, Christian, remember the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. But remember this. Forgiveness is instant, Christian. When you're a Christian, forgiveness must be instant. But trust is different. You see, I will forgive, but trust is earned. I will forgive you. What does that mean exactly? That means that I forgive you. It doesn't mean that I am going to be around you or put myself around you. I will forgive you for both of our sakes. I will forgive you, but I will stand at a distance to keep from causing more problems or to keep the energy level down. And trust is earned. I'll never do that again. That's earned. How do I prove it? Don't ever do that again. When you tell somebody I'm going to change, how do you prove it? Change. See, you don't have to tell someone that you're different when your life displays a difference from what it was. You walk your talk. When you say this, keep it to yourself in your own mind and show the others what you're going to do. You don't have to talk yourself through it, because I have a Savior that walks me down it. That path of life is rough. It's tough. Will you hurt? Yes. Will you stumble? Yes. Are there times when you're going to fall straight on your face? Yes. But there'll never be a time when Jesus isn't there. He will pick you up. He'll even dust you off. And he'll set you right back on the path. And you've got a friend that'll stick closer than a brother. A friend that will always be with you. And you will walk in the power of Christ. You will walk in the light of Christ. And through the power and the light of Christ, you will walk in the footsteps of Christ. You will find that the crazy makers in your life are just that. They're crazy makers. But you happen to know the one who has a cure for it. And he says, come to me. With all your burdens, you're heavy laden, bring them to me. Don't take them back once you bring them to the foot of the cross. Leave them there. Be the kind of Christian, the kind of child of God that follows his direction instead of the direction the world wants to lead you in. That's a bad direction. You will fall. But I'll promise you this. When you're down there, oh, and listen again. I know that the suicide rates are up with the military. I know that. I've been reading all of this, on what is going on. And it's just not the military. It's people giving up on life. I understand the pains of life and the struggles everyone goes through in life. But you see, it's not the life that's conquering you. It's the lack of knowing the Savior that's conquering us. When you give your heart to Jesus Christ, you've given a heart to one who can give you the power. You'll not only walk through this life, you will conquer it. Through the power of Christ, you will conquer it all. You will stand strong in his presence, because it is his presence that's with you during the times of troubles, during the time of brokenness. It is his presence that's there. And he says to us, go ahead and forgive. I'll take care of the rest. But don't you hold on to all of that hurt and pain that someone may have caused you. Forgive them and turn it over to the Lord. Again, I'm not saying to you that it's all just like it used to be, because it won't be. I'm telling you, you forgive, but that trust is earned. Number three, no matter what the situation, you hear me say it every Sunday, do not gossip about them. Refuse to do that. Don't gossip. Well, Brother Larry, I wasn't gossiping. That was the truth. Folks, the truth is gossip. You see, what's gossiping? Gossiping is when you are going to talk about a situation, and that situation is something that you cannot contribute any positive statements to or relief to. It may be the truth, but if you're not involved, why are you talking about it to everybody else? If you cannot help the ones that you're talking about, then you need to keep your mouth shut and you need to get into prayer, praying for all concerned, not gossiping about them. Not, well, it's the truth. You know, there's a lot of truths about me I don't want any of you talking about. You know what I mean? You got a lot of truths in your life, but you just soon we just keep those truths to ourselves. God says, this is how you're going to deal with that crazy maker, because it will drive everyone crazy once the gossip ever starts. Proverbs 17, verse 9. Disregarding another person's faults preserves love. Huh? I forgive you for your faults, Brother Randy, and they are many. It preserves love, but gossiping about them separates close friends. It'll separate close friends. So forgive, forget. It's a hard thing to forget, isn't it? When you've been hurt bad, that's hard to say forgive. I will forgive, but I must stand at a distance for a period of time and allow God's grace to overshadow me to where I feel comfortable being in the presence of that personality again. Well, isn't that sin? Not at all. It is scriptural. So be careful, but stay away from the gossip part. Number four. There are a lot of religious people that drive me crazy. I had to use that. They are so religious that they don't seem like they have a relationship with Christ. They're too religious to have that personal relationship. Christianity is based on a relationship. That personal commitment you or I have made to Jesus Christ. But religion, well, it's a set up of guidelines and laws and regulations. Do this, don't do that. Do this, don't do that. Look this way. You know, I want you to dress a certain way. I want you to wear your hair a certain way. You ought to just be thankful you got her. I encourage you to wear it any way you want. But God says, refuse to play their game. For Christians, it's the super pious religious people that just drive us crazy. Really? We're going to go with all of these rules and regulations? Well, let me see this for you. Matthew 22, verses 15 and then 18 and 19. But I want you to notice something. It was the religious Pharisees that were coming after Jesus. See, Jesus is telling people he is God incarnate. They recognize him as the Son of God. The religious people are going wild. And if they were so close to the Lord as they said they were, why didn't any of them show up at his birth? Why weren't any of them standing and defending the Son of God at the cross. Even the disciples ran. And Jesus hung alone, except for the heavenly host and God the Father. There he was. So now the Pharisees come, these pious religious leaders, trying to trick him, playing games. Jesus didn't play games. He dealt with life and all its fullness. Matthew 22:15. The Pharisees plotted a way to trap him into saying something damaging. They were going to trick him where he could be killed for going against Caesar or for going against their religion. Jesus knew they were up to no good, and he said, "Why are you playing these games with me? Why are you trying to trap me?" There's someone always trying to trap the Christian. Well, hey, Christian, if your God is real, your Jesus is who he says he was, how come you got cancer? Because I'm a human being, and human beings get it. How come you hurt? Because I'm a human being in a human body, and I hurt. But can't your Savior change that? Can if he wants to. But what if deliverance from a disease is not the way he wants to do it, but to use that to glorify his name by leading many others to the foot of the cross? Which one do you choose? I want to do it God's way. I want it done his way. Will you break down? Sure, you're human. Will you hurt? You better believe you will. You're human. But what you need to do is don't let them play games with you. Be who you are. And that is Christian, knowing that you have a personal relationship with your Creator. He created me once. He's protected me all of these years from abortion attempt to combat to being in the prison system as a crisis chaplain for all those years. He's done a good job protecting your pastor, just like he has protecting you. So therefore, don't let these people play games with you when it comes to your relationship with Jesus. You serve him the way you know how to serve him. That's what he's called us for. Refuse to cave in. I told you all a while ago, I don't quit. I don't give up. When it comes to serving the Lord, you and I have been blessed mightily with a power that's unseen, but a power that's the greatest of all, the hand of God to direct. So you don't quit. You stand there. You shake. You tremor. You cry. You're a mess. You're in pain. You do all this stuff, but you stand anyway. As holy boldness, standing in the name of Christ and by his power. Galatians 5:1. We have freedom now because Christ made us free. So stand strong. Listen, stand strong. Do not change and go back into the slavery of the law, of the rules, of the regulations. God gave me one rule, love. And through love, you will conquer this life, this world, all the problems, love anyway. No matter what I had done in life as a young person, as a Marine, no matter, my Savior loved me. And was always, has always been with me and stayed with me. Refused to cave in and don't go back to if I had only. Folks, the only that I am given in the Word of God is only trust Him. Only come to Jesus. Only call on His name and you will be saved. Recognizing Jesus for who He is. He is my God. He is my Savior. He is my deliverer. I'm saved. I'm already delivered. Folks, there's so much more to this life than just living. This life is more. I have an eternity. Oh, we're going to have such fun. I'm going to get to smart off to my favorite congregation throughout eternity. Woo! And you'll get to talk right back. And it'll all be in love. It'll all also be where there's no pain, no tears, where there is no Satan to tempt us, where it is we're working for God continually, day and night. And it's a pleasurable job that you're going to have. What's it going to be? I haven't the slightest idea. You know why? Because God's Word tells me that the mind cannot think of the greatness of what we have waiting for us, because we've never seen it that good before. Finally, always take the high ground. I like saying, go to the cross, go up on it. Take the high ground. Proverbs 16:7. When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, doesn't have a thing to do with whether your ways are pleasing to the neighbor or not. When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, God makes even his enemies live at peace with him. Now, I don't want to say anything against him. I don't like the man. I can't stand the man. But I'm not going to say anything against him. Who does that? God does. It is God that will control the heart of your enemy. It is God that decides whether or not they come knocking on your door. But it's also God that's there to answer it when they knock. Romans 12:21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That means love. All the commandments come down to one word, love. Brother Randy, I seem to recall the scripture that says God is love. And he has given us the freedom to choose love over hate, to choose to love despite the problems of life or the troubles of this world. Love. And your pastor loves you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the blessings and the joy of salvation. Father, we praise your name. That doesn't matter what the disease is. You're in control of who we are. So I ask, Father, that your will be done on each individual member of this special congregation you've allowed me to pastor. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the touch of the many personalities and the great love that only you can give through their hearts. Touch each of us now, Father, as we'll go about your business and your week. And Father, that we go about it praising the name of your Son. We ask that blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.